People trust their eyes above all else. But most people see what they wish to see or what they believe they should see, not what is really there. And this week's opening quote comes from Zoe Marriott. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. It really is an interesting phenomena how two different people can look at the same thing and yet hold two completely different views to what it is they're looking at. You find this with history, with artifacts, ruins that are lying around the world. People will look at two structures and see two completely different things depending upon the viewpoint they're looking at it from, depending on the education they've had, what academic institutions have taught them, whatever they have taught them prior to encountering this artifact. And it's the same for many different aspects of our lives. For example, many people will look at the system, look at society. Someone like myself will look at it and I will see a control grid that is getting worse and worse by the moment. A system of people farming, a system of slavery, a system of debt slavery, which serves only to inhibit mankind's potential. But many other people will see a system that is absolutely necessary for mankind to function in a normal and progressive way, and they will see absolute freedom within this control grid. They will see a situation which they find to be quite benevolent. They don't view the government as being their enemy because the government provides all of these things for them, and they've really got the choice to go and buy anything they want to do or go to any restaurant they want to go to or have any car they want to have, and so therefore they're free. Many people view freedom as simply being freedom of choice, and even when you look at the wars that we're conducting overseas, that's what a lot of people in the West see the problem being in many of these third world countries, that the people simply don't have enough freedom of choice. They may have a dictator, whether he's benevolent or not, he may be a single dictator, and so therefore they don't have the choice of electing a new CEO of the same corrupt coin to run the corrupt system that's running their country, which people in the West mistakenly view as freedom. Or they don't have a McDonald's on the corner, they don't have a Starbucks around the corner from that, they don't have all of these things that the West has, so therefore they're struggling and they're not free. And I know that's kind of a simplistic way of looking at it, but that's the general overview of the West when looking at the third world. But again, people just view things from the viewpoint they want to view them from, and so they see what they want to see. And many people simply don't notice the obvious. If they did notice the obvious, it's very doubtful we would have this control grid rolling out the way it is rolling out. The censorship is really going through the roof. You can see a lot of people are being deplatformed. Gab was recently taken down as a platform that promotes hate speech, which is, of course, completely ridiculous. You probably know the story. There was a shooter who decided he would do Israel a favor by covering his van with brand new stickers depicting that he was some type of truth activist with extremist left-wing views that he obviously got from the internet, and then went to a synagogue and shot a whole bunch of Jews. And this is most likely Mossad or something that did this, folks. And if you think, no, that's not possible because it was Jews who were killed, well, just remember that the Jewish mafia who controls the state of Israel has a history of killing their own people, so there's no problem with them doing that. Especially when Israel is getting so much flak at the moment, it makes perfect sense for them to do this. But of course, the shooter had an account on Gab, and so they said, well, because he had an account on Gab, then we need to close down Gab. I mean, if this was anything close to being factual or reasonable, they would have closed down Facebook and YouTube and everything long ago, because you'll find that most shooters and bombers have got Facebook accounts and Twitter accounts and YouTube accounts and whatever. So shutting down a platform such as Gab and using that as the excuse, it's simply to curtail free speech. That's what it's about, folks. And if you don't have free speech, you don't have a society. Now, censorship is bad. Censorship is an affront to free thought. And censorship should not be allowed in any progressive society to any degree at all. It doesn't matter what people post, it doesn't matter what people say. If you don't like it, don't listen. But if you agree that anybody should be censored, then you also agree that you should be censored. And this censorship, I mean, they're taking it even further now with the copyright laws, the EU copyright laws. You can't post links, you can't post headlines, you can't post a link to someone's news article and copy their headline because you are using their material by copying their headline, blah, blah, blah. And so you get hit for copyright, even though you're sending traffic to their site. And they're doing this with YouTube clips, and they're doing this with everything. So it's just the next level of censorship using the copyright laws to do it. And years ago, when they started monetizing YouTube, I warned people that this was what was going to happen. I said they're going to start using the monetization of YouTube for advertising. They're going to get you through advertising, going to be able to censor you. And a lot of people are going to give up their day jobs and depend on their YouTube revenue. And so you're going to become dependent upon a system that they're going to lock you out of simply by making you dependent on it and having advertising on your clips. This is one of the reasons I've never monetized my YouTube channel. I mean, I've never monetized because I want people to know it's not about the money, but I also saw when it first came out that it was a trap. You know, and we're doing this whole thing, this whole so-called freedom movement is about removing ourselves from the grip and clutches of this banking cartel. And here you have a whole lot of YouTubers now dependent upon income for their YouTube clips. So they begin sensationalizing their YouTube clips. It becomes all about clicks. It becomes all about income. And that was never what it was supposed to be about. So that's the main reason I never monetized, because I want people to know the channel and the message is one of integrity, but also because of the control that's going to come with it. And I did point this out a couple of years ago when I started the monetize option on YouTube. I could see exactly where it was going. And it's all about censorship, folks. That's what all of this stuff has always been about. That's what the internet was created for, to create the ultimate surveillance system. And in the process, find out where all the activists are, find out where all the awake people are, get tabs on them all, and then censor the information and continue to control the narrative. And censorship is simply the act of a paranoid government who is terrified of ever having their actions discovered and of having the truth about themselves exposed to the world at large. You know, censorship is the act of a paranoid mind terrified of being found out for what it's doing when doors are closed. You know, of course, it starts off innocently enough, protecting you from child pornography or something like that. And of course, they won't stop the child pornography from being created. They'll stop you from watching the videos. And then they'll move it forward a little bit further to protect people from being offended, and then protect people from this and protect people from that. And before you know it, you're not allowed to say or do anything that isn't government approved. All to keep you safe, of course, and to make sure that nobody is ever offended again. But really, it's just so government can control everything that everybody does all the time, simply because that is what psychopaths like to do. I mean, one sobering reality that people really do need to face is that the world is in the condition that it's in because it's been legislated to be that way. And really, when you look at the state of the world today, all the problems that we see in the world are the result of government attempting to control everything that everybody does all the time. So perhaps we need to go a different direction now. They certainly control the flow of information, which is why nobody seems to know what's going on in the world. A lot of people don't even know that there's a war going on in Yemen, even though they're expecting 10 to 13 million people to die of starvation by the end of the year. There's all sorts of attempts to portray Saudi Arabia in a positive light at the moment so it can open up all of its trade deals, and no one seems to realise that they are carrying out a massive genocide in Yemen. And they're not just carrying out genocide in these countries in overt manners that we can see as well, they're also carrying out covert genocides in Western countries as well. People just don't see them because they are being conducted in a far more underhanded and secretive manner. But even in that, I mean, many of these processes have been carried out right under the nose of the people, right before your eyes. It's just that people refuse to see that which is right before them. Look up in the skies, folks. Have a look at the spraying. And don't tell me it's normal clouds and normal jet exhausts, because it isn't. An interesting email that I got from someone the other day, quite desperate, from New Zealand, trying to alert me to the fact that the Chinese have bought up most of the North Island and that they are spraying the entire country with 1080. The people of New Zealand are being poisoned, folks. They're putting it forth with the concept of having a pest-free New Zealand by 2020. They want all the insects and all the pests and everything gone. They're spraying the entire country with 1080 to get rid of the pests. I mean, and who even thinks of this stuff, folks? I mean, that's going to solve all of New Zealand's problems. Let's kill all the insects. That'll make everything better for everybody. Forget the food chain, forget all that stuff. We can do better by killing all the insects. I mean, does this sound normal or sane to anybody? Does it sound like a normal thing that a government would be doing, killing all the pests? Well, maybe they are, but have you ever considered that the people are the pests, most especially if the country is being sold to China? They don't really want the white people there anymore, and so they are spraying them like bugs to get rid of them. The amount of autism and respiratory problems and all sorts of stuff we're seeing in New Zealand, it's actually leading the world in these types of disorders, but of course it's got nothing to do with the government spraying them with tons and tons of 1080 poison annually, and that is something that people really need to investigate, folks. And people just don't seem to know about this, and again, it's because the government has this wonderful method of controlling all the information everybody gets, because the government wants to control everything everybody does, and everything everybody listens to, or everything everybody knows, and basically everything all the time. And they certainly have, folks. They've controlled pretty well everything all the time. They've certainly controlled our history, something that I've been touching on recently. Our history, something that I've been really meaning to get back to. And there's been so much coming out from so many YouTube channels and so many researchers now regarding our history. It's been really good to see. So many people are talking about Great Tartaria now. The fact that there was once a worldwide civilization and Tartaria was part of it. Very, very interesting research that's been put out by a channel called Bright Insights as well, where he's been talking about the discovery of Atlantis, the city of Atlantis in northern Africa, in Mauritius, which actually looks very likely to be the site of Atlantis. And this also confirms what I was saying a few months ago. And essentially what I was saying was that Atlantis was likely not an island culture or an island nation. Atlantis was more likely a city, a capital of a worldwide culture. And this is very much confirmed by the site that Atlantis appears to have been found. And folks, I'm telling you, when you look at this, the site which is actually called the Rikut in Africa, in northern Africa, called the Eye of Africa or the Eye of the Sahara, it's also known as, when you look at it, it contains every single aspect of how Plato described Atlantis. And if this is not the site, well, I don't know what else it is, because it literally does contain every single thing that we would expect to find in the location of the city of Atlantis. It's all there. So that really does add a lot of credibility to this being a very, very legitimate find. And there's a lot of details, folks. It really is. The three concentric rings of water, the two concentric rings of land around a central island, the opening to the south heading to the ocean, the mountains in the north, rivers in the mountains to the north. The whole lot, it's all there. It's even the right size for Atlantis. And if you're watching this on YouTube, I'll be sure to leave a link below to the first of three videos that this channel has done. And he's actually based it on somebody else's research as well, whose name escaped me, but he does mention them in the video. And there's even an old map by Herodotus which mentions this as well and puts Atlantis on the map and places it at the same location. So again, this is a very legitimate find, ladies and gentlemen, very significant, and I recommend people go and check that out. The thing is that these ancient cultures and ancient civilizations did exist. Very likely they existed in great antiquity, but it's also very likely that traces of them still existed up until a few hundred years ago. Like when you look at the site of Atlantis that I've just mentioned to you in northern Africa in Mauritius, it's very likely that this is a very, very ancient site. Could be many thousands of years old, possibly. I mean, I don't know. I haven't been there. But it's very likely that when the landmass that this was part of sank beneath the waves, or when the lands changed in some way, perhaps that section of northern Africa raised up a little bit more when the ocean levels raised up, because the ocean levels have risen. And we can confirm this simply by the fact that there are so many sunken ruins all around the world. And when you look at the legends of Lemuria, as I've said previously, the great landmass that once existed connecting Australia to India and possibly wide out as far as Hawaii and the east of Australia as well. So quite a big landmass that was very likely once there. But once this went beneath the waves, then the Atlantean culture was lost, and the remnants of that culture very likely set up in what is known as Tartaria. And Tartaria is the area of Eastern Europe, Western Russia, that they tell us is just a region, that it wasn't really ever a country, it's just a region, and yet there's all sorts of indications that this was actually a country. And actually, if you look at American flag books, if you can go and find an old book of national flags, an American book of national flags printed around about 1850, you find that this book contains the flag of Tartaria. And if it wasn't a country, then what's it doing with a flag? And the flag of Tartaria, there are two of them that I've seen. One had a dragon on the flag and another one had an owl on the flag, which I find to be also very significant. The fact that the dragon and the owl were the two things that they had on the flags. This is quite significant, folks, but that's probably a whole show's worth of information for another time. But actually, just remembering correctly, just to correct myself, there's actually another Tartarian flag that I remember seeing, which depicts a griffin. You know, the griffin with the body of a lion, the wings of a dragon, and the head of an eagle. Which again is quite intriguing. Something else that I've found to be quite intriguing is the concept that old churches and spires and a lot of the old copper top buildings that we see around the world were not churches and temples. They were actually power stations. But there was a way of harvesting the energy, the ether energy, what people would probably refer to as Tesla energy, of simply harvesting this from the ether, and that's what these buildings were for. And all of these buildings are constructed in a specific way. They all have domes or spires on top with copper domes, copper spires. They all have spires. They usually have an obelisk nearby and usually a fountain or something to do with water nearby as well. Very interesting when you look at Tesla energy, and you look at Tesla when he created his tower, was very similar, had a copper dome on top, and it was near an aquifer. So it's all very interesting. It seems to be related to the copper top, the spires, and the water somehow combined. Appears to be a method of producing power, and this is perhaps what they were doing in the Tartarian civilization. This is perhaps what the star forts were about as well. There are many star forts that could be found across Holland, across Europe, and these star forts appear to play a role in the generating of electricity as well. And that's extremely interesting, but most interesting is the fact that many of these copper top buildings still exist, and all of these buildings appear to be related to a prior civilization, and all appear to be power stations, and not actually churches. There's old etchings that were sent to me by a friend in Holland that depict these buildings producing electricity. They also depict people having tournaments where they're fighting with what appear to be essentially lightsabers, or at least swords that conduct electricity. And when you look at some of the old designs of some of the old swords and some of the old things that we find in these so-called temples, they don't really make a lot of sense. But when you view them as something that might be used for conducting electricity, then they do begin to make sense. So this is all very interesting as well. There's also a report you'll find on the Berlin Zoo. There's one of these temples, one of these old buildings still in the Berlin Zoo, an old church. I believe the giraffes live in it. And when you go to the Berlin Zoo, there's an amazing energy in the area. You just feel great when you walk into the place. And this is very likely due to the etheric energy that is generated by the structure that the giraffes are still living in. It's very likely that a lot of these structures are still producing electricity today. Nothing would surprise me, ladies and gentlemen. And there is so much evidence to indicate that this culture was a worldwide culture. You can find traces of old Tartarian buildings, which we may possibly even more rightly be referring to as the Atlantean culture rather than a Tartarian culture. I mean, who knows where the connection is and how they were connected together, but you can find remnants of this culture everywhere. As I mentioned a couple of months ago, there's old buildings in Japan, central Japan, buildings that were there before the Europeans came to Japan, that are basically European-style buildings. I mean, what are they doing there in the Japanese culture? It's because Japan was also part of a previous culture and so still contains some of the architecture of this previous culture. You can find remnants of this culture in virtually every country on earth. You can find them here in Australia. Some of the old buildings that we've got around Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane, there's no way that these were built by the first settlers when they came out. And I mean, think about it, folks. I mean, seriously, are we to assume that when the first fleet arrived, they brought all these stonemasons and all of this excavating equipment with them, and one of the first things they did was go and dig all these quarries and quarry all these big square stones and build all these huge Roman classical-style buildings as their government headquarters? Is that the first thing they did when they arrived? Because in order for these buildings to be there, they would have had to have done that. They just built these buildings as soon as they arrived, as you do when you're colonizing a country on old sailing ships. You just bring all these stonemasons and excavating equipment with you, and the first thing you do when you get there is go out and dig a quarry. Yes, of course, it all makes perfect sense, but the problem is that people just don't generally ask that question. Gee, that's a nice old building, but where did it come from? How did it get there? When was it built? Who built it? And how? And that's most certainly the case when you look at some of the old buildings that we've got here in Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane. And the architecture is very, very different to everything else that we have here as well. And really, when you look at it with clear enough eyes, you can begin to see that all of these buildings belong to a pre-existing culture that was here before Britain arrived. And as I said, folks, there's traces of this culture everywhere. There's certainly traces of it right across the Americas. There's traces of it all through the Florida Everglades. There's actually pictograms in North America as well, the same as what you'll find in South America, the same as what you'll find in Nazca. And there's also aqueducts in places in America, like down near Mexico. And even in Mexico, I think there are aqueducts that are built. We're told these were built by the settlers simply because they cared about the natives so much, but these are the same natives that they were in the process of genociding. So why were they suddenly building these massive aqueducts? And these are all what would be termed Greek and Roman-style aqueducts, mind you. These are all found in Americas, and we're told these were built by the settlers for the natives in order to move water across the desert. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. What does make sense is factoring in the reality that these aqueducts were already there before the British arrived. And in fact, what does make sense when you look at all of the structures that are lying all around the world, the structures in Egypt, in Peru, the structures in Europe, the structures that are found in the Americas, the structures that are everywhere, what does make sense is factoring in that these were all part of one culture that existed contemporaneously, all at the same time, right around the world, and it was all wiped out at the same time. And when you look at our history and you consider the fact that our history is wrong, and I've pointed out so often that it is, and I'm convinced that it is wrong, simply because that's what all the evidence says, you know, it's essentially pseudo-history, what we're being presented with. And of course, they will tell you, you know, modern academics or quackademics will tell you that any research into Atlantis is pseudo-history, but it's not. Atlantis was real. Tartaria was real. This worldwide culture was real. We've even identified the fact that there was a worldwide language, which was Magyar, which was uncovered through the work of Attila Flink, which I brought you a couple of months ago on a show. You factor all this in, you begin to realize that all of these old battles and all the things we've heard about, the Battle of Troy, the Battle of Napoleon, the overthrow of Caesarea, the sack of Tartary, the American Civil War, all of these things were very likely wars that happened contemporaneously at the same time and were all very likely the wars that were fought to overthrow the previous civilization and wipe out all trace of it. And who knows what the real timeline really is and when all this really took place and when these battles are really fought. But one thing we can be almost certain of, and that is that most of what we're presented with as being a modern history and the modern timeline of history up to this point is a complete fabrication. And I can certainly understand that that may be a hugely confrontational thing for me to say, and there may be a lot of people that find that very challenging. But when you go and look around the world, folks, and look at what is lying around the world, and look at the artifacts that are there, look at what the monuments and what the structures and what these relics tell you, what you find is that nothing of what they tell you is anything that is told to you by modern academia. The question is, why is all of this stuff ignored? Now, it can't be ignored simply because they don't notice it, and isn't a matter of things being labelled as anomalous. oh, this is an anomalous artifact we can't explain. Now, the fact that these things are there says that modern history, or the modern academic version of history, is completely wrong. Otherwise, these artifacts wouldn't be there. I mean, if you find one of these things out of place, it's a problem. But when you find as many as there are, quite literally hundreds of things that are out of place, well, then that is a huge problem. And either the artifacts are all fake and they've all been put there just to fool people, or the modern version of history is a complete fabrication. These are the only two options that you have. And it's very doubtful that people have gone out and deliberately placed all of these exotic ruins all over the world just to create all of these hoaxes. It's not possible, folks. All these things are there. And the fact that most people don't know about them indicates that they're covered up. The information is hidden. The fact that most people don't realize that this structure, the Rekat, has been found in northern Africa and that it very likely is the site of Atlantis. The fact that this isn't even being discussed by people shows just how little the mainstream is actually prepared to bring to people and just how much real information is covered up. An interesting thing is that if you go to the Atlantis page on Wikipedia, as you know, Wikipedia is very editable. Anybody can go there and make adjustments to Wikipedia. But if you go to the Atlantis page, you find that the page is locked. No one can make changes to that page that aren't approved by Wikipedia. So you can't even go and add this information to the page to let people know it's happening. And that's interesting in itself. It seems that they certainly don't want people sharing this data. But then with the level of censorship we're seeing on the internet, it seems like they don't really want people sharing any data at all. And we're just going to see this grow and grow from this point, ladies and gentlemen. The censorship is really going through the roof, and it's all about preventing the spread of information. That's all the political correctness is about, all the need to not offend anybody and all of this stuff. It's all disguised as methods that government's putting in place to help people and create a more safe and more informed society, but really it's doing exactly the opposite. It's about controlling what people think and making sure people don't get information that the government doesn't want them to have. That's always what it's been about. That's what the whole internet has been about. We thought it was about bringing massive amounts of information to the world, but really it was just a carrot they were hanging out there so that they could limit everybody's potential to the extreme. And that's exactly what they're heading to, folks, if we allow them to do it. But I think we have reached break time here, so I better leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll be back to speak to you again in a few minutes. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, so I find it very interesting, all of this ancient history stuff, and I find it incredibly empowering, the concept that there was a worldwide culture that was essentially a peaceful culture. Of course, the whole world apparently wasn't peaceful because this culture was wiped out and overthrown. Who did that is another question. There's every indication that it may have been forces from the vicinity of England that had something to do with it. And why doesn't that surprise me? But that is speculation on my behalf. Some of the information does come from a Russian website. I'm very fortunate enough in that I have a Lithuanian friend who's able to translate Russian websites for me, so that's pretty cool. But even with that, just because it's on a Russian website doesn't make it true. It's very difficult for me to confirm. It's just a theory that someone else has put forth that needs further investigation. But whatever happened, it would appear that this culture existed up until quite recently, and again, I find this to be a very empowering concept. But it also is a very good indication of just how much control the ruling hand is actually able to exert over the world. To be able to wipe this history from existence and wipe it from memory over a period of just a couple of generations is a pretty good effort. And it also does give a pretty good indication of just how easy it is to deceive people through control of the media and control of the academic systems. And people only know what they're told about reality, and they can only base their perception of reality on what they're told and what they know. And as I discussed last week, most of this knowledge, pretty well all of this knowledge, comes from external sources. Very little of it is learned through our own experiences. People just generally take things at face value and they believe what they're told, most especially when it comes from what they perceive to be trusted sources, such as academia or government. And therein lies the problem. Society, generally speaking, just doesn't really ask questions anymore, and we desperately need them to. We just need people to start thinking for themselves again and start thinking outside of the box again and exploring their own mental capacity, philosophizing a little bit, asking questions. Too many people don't do that. They're too caught up in the virtual world, and they don't really want to ask the serious questions because they don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to upset their friends. They don't want to be seen as an outcast, someone who thinks a little differently to everybody else. People are quite literally afraid to think for themselves in the modern world, all due to the training that they're getting through the education system. You know, parents simply aren't paying enough attention to what their children are being fed at school, unfortunately. And of course, with the new laws where it's illegal to offend anybody for any reason at any time at all, it's become impossible to really express yourself in any meaningful way. You know, and all these laws, all this censorship, all of this stuff is designed to do exactly that, folks, to limit human potential, to limit the way you can express yourself, to limit free speech and therefore limit free thought. And when you limit free thought, you limit human potential drastically. When you limit free thought, you can't have new ideas created. You can't have anybody expressing their creative potential. Everyone needs to ask permission for everything that they do, and everyone gets scared not to ask permission. You know, no one has any spontaneity anymore. Everyone's too scared to be themselves in case they get penalized for doing so. It's ridiculous. You can't have a society that functions in this way, and that's the point. That's why they're doing it. You've got to limit human potential, limit people's ability to think for themselves, because that way they are more malleable. It's all about control, folks. That's the goal. To limit every single aspect of human creativity, to limit every aspect of human potential, and to do it through the subtle use of fear. And this is all terrorism, folks. Everything they're doing is terrorism. Being too scared to think the way you want to think for fear of being penalized. This is psychological terrorism, psychological warfare that's being waged against the people now. You know, any law that they tell you you can't do that because you may offend someone, you need to say that, well, you're offended by that law. Any law that tells me I can't offend anyone is an offensive law. So how are we getting around this? You've offended me by creating the law. I'm offended. So what am I going to do? I'm going to have to press charges against the government using your own do not offend me laws. This is the attitude people need to have. Just throw it back at these people, because that's all they are, folks, is just people. And we forget that. And because we've forgotten that, because we've let it get this far, soon the whole thing is going to be run by algorithms. You're not even going to have a choice in the matter. You're not even going to be able to say that to anybody, that you're offended by their offensive laws, because there's not going to be anybody you can complain to, because it's all going to be controlled by algorithms. It'll simply be a penalty that is imposed upon you by default when you cross the street the wrong way or say something wrong the wrong way because it was picked up on somebody's smartphone and they heard it. The algorithm already charged you, already put a social credit point against your name, already alerted the local police, or already on their way to beat you up. That's the way it's working, simply because people aren't paying attention to it. And they're doing all of this to stop the flow of information that is coming out now, folks, because there is a huge awakening happening. The awakening that we've all been waiting for so long, it really is happening. There's so many people now that are talking about the fact that the system is completely dysfunctional. So many people are waking up to the fact that history is wrong. People are waking up to the fact that Tartaria existed. People are waking up to the fact that we've been lied to on pretty well every single aspect of reality that we've been given by this system. People are waking up to the fact that the governments are completely meaningless criminal enterprises that just manufacture war, terrorism, and scarcity everywhere that don't serve the people. People are waking up. And so they have to introduce all these censorship laws to try to slow this movement down. But I think the more they bring it in and the more laws they're bringing in, the more people are waking up. But don't get complacent in that. Don't think that that is happening so you don't have to do anything about it. What you do have to do is push back in every aspect of your life. Just don't comply with any of the stuff that they tell you to do, folks. I continue to push back against the system in every way, shape, and form that I can. I simply will not comply with any of their new digital system or comply with any of their smart grid. And I ask questions any time anybody attempts to exert any authority over me at all. And just doing that really does make a difference, especially if enough people are doing it. And that's where you can make a difference, folks, on the ground where you live. It's all very well for us to research and do all this stuff online, but we live in a real world here. There's real people outside. There's a real government, a real council in your community. There's real things happening on the streets outside. There's real people to talk to if you go and get involved. And that's what you need to do, because that's where you're going to make a difference. I mean, we can do a lot of stuff online and we reach a lot of people online. But again, it's just important to reach the people around you as well. And even if you can't reach them by spreading the truth to them, if it's just stuff they don't want to hear, well, you can still reach them by leading by example in what you do, by being a shining light in your community, by being a pleasure to be around, by being a helpful person and doing something positive for the community you live in. You can reach them that way. It really does make a difference. You'd be surprised. Another thing you can do to make a difference is just be true to yourself and be true to your life. Be true to the people around you. Be true to who you are. And if you've got stuff with people, if you've got baggage that you're carrying around, stuff, grudges and all these sorts of things, put it all down. Show a little forgiveness to the people around you and show a little forgiveness to yourself. This is something that I discussed on the show last week as well, the importance of forgiveness. We need to be able to do this. A lot of the problems that we have with people are contrived problems. They're the result of this system, the result of this society, which is designed to put people against each other. Puts people in a state of scarcity where they're ripping each other off for small items or taking advantage of each other or whatever. All this stuff that people have done in the past, put it all away, folks. None of it means anything. It's all contrived. It's all been brought about by this system in order to keep the people divided. Divide and conquer is the motto, and it works wonders. And we all face a common foe here. We really do. And we need to stop squabbling amongst each other. That's one of the biggest tools that's used against us, and it's a perpetual tool. It's used all the time. It's been used for time immemorial. And we've really got to see how we're being played and put all of this stuff down. That's something that everybody can do. Even if you don't want to be someone out there putting your head up and spreading the truth or going and getting involved in your community, you can get involved in your own life by simply putting all of this baggage down that you're carrying around, because most people are carrying all of this useless baggage that they really don't need, and it's all contrived. I mean, sure, there may be real baggage, there may be real problems, there may be real grudges that people have because people have had real harm done to them, but you can still put it down. Now, you may not be able to accept that person back into your life, but you still don't need to carry the scar with you, because it's just useless baggage and it's not getting you anywhere. It's certainly not helping you move forward. But a lot of people are doing this. They're carrying scars around with them, and a lot of the scars that they're carrying aren't even their own scars. A lot of the racial scars that we see, a lot of the racism we see between different races or different cultures due to wars or things that happened in the past, these are not things that actually happen to the people who are even carrying these scars. You find people from Serbia hate the people from Croatia because of scars that happened in World War II, and yet none of the people who live in those countries today were even involved in World War II. They're just carrying these racial scars from things that happened in the past. A lot of people who are carrying scars from the days of slavery, a lot of people who are carrying all sorts of scars are all generational scars, national and generational scars, things that they didn't experience themselves, but certain people or certain cultures or certain creeds that they've been taught to hate ancestrally. This is a really, really bizarre concept, because really when you step back and look at it, they're just people. And if they grew up together in the same neighborhood and they weren't aware of their history, or they weren't aware of their culture, they weren't aware of any religious perspectives or ancestral perspectives, if they were just people who grew up together, you'd find that they wouldn't have any problems with each other. You know, all of these things, all of these differences and divisions that we have with each other are very often taught to us by other people. And they're realities that we take on board and realities that become part of our lives, and yet these are realities that don't come from things we've experienced for ourselves. And it's all about divide and conquer, you know. All of these things just put us against each other, and we don't see the common foe that we're all facing. We don't see what's coming. You know, the whole 5G grid, the whole surveillance grid, the whole smart system that's rolling out, this is going to affect every man, woman, and child on Earth. And no one's really looking at it. Everyone's too busy squabbling. And even with the independent media, people are too busy squabbling. even with all the research that we're doing, I mean, it's all great looking at all this research and Tartaria and Atlantis being discovered, all these great things. But don't forget the smart grid, folks. Don't forget that all of this is rolling out underneath everything else while we're distracted. And the internet is becoming so censored now that soon you're not going to have access to all this information that you're researching anyway. So it's really important that people begin to pay attention and start pushing back. And don't think that Trump and Q and all these white knights are coming to save you, because none of them are addressing the real cause of the problems, which is the system itself. And again, government is such a puppet show, folks. I don't know how anybody is still on this Trump train. I don't know how anybody is even viewing these midterm US elections as being important. People are saying it's the most important election in the history of the US presidency. It's not, folks, because the whole thing is a puppet show. It doesn't matter who the figurehead is. It's all leading towards the same direction anyway. Trump isn't doing anything except offering a whole bunch of appeasement to the people, and it seems to be working quite well. But really, folks, you've just got to look at who he's rubbing shoulders with. Benjamin Netanyahu, who's still supporting Saudi Arabia in their annihilation of the people of Yemen. Israel is bombing Gaza again at the moment as well. Gaza's under attack. No one seems to be talking about that. Trump doesn't seem to be worried about it too much. And he certainly hasn't done anything to help the Palestinian people. And, folks, really, I mean, the support that he's shown for the state of Israel, it really does show his true colours. So I think it's really important that people stop waiting for some type of political remedy and realize that the solution lies with them. It always has, you know. This is something that I've been sharing for 10 years on this show. You know, if people could put down all this stuff with the people around them and simply unite their communities as one vibrant community, you'd heal the world in a day. And I say this all the time, and people say, well, that's a pipe dream, it's never going to happen. And yeah, I can agree, it's not going to happen because people aren't doing it. But again, it's because people just don't see their true power. And I don't know, I just have this incredible faith in mankind. I know there's a lot of empty portals out there. I know there's a lot of filler material out there that seems to make up the world we live in, people that don't really seem to get it either way. That will just go with the flow, whatever the flow is, and they're just kind of built that way. But still, there are a lot of good people out there who can make a difference and who, I believe, will make a difference if they could simply find that inner power that they will hold. Because even the empty portals hold the inner power if they really want to choose to use it. You know, everyone has the choice to do what they're told or to not do what they're told. Everyone has the choice to stay in their moral compass or to step outside their moral compass. Everyone has a choice to comply to things that make them feel bad and to do things that make them feel bad and to do the wrong thing or to do the right thing. We all have a choice in all of these matters, folks, in everything that we do. And if people could really discover that in themselves and just ask these questions and do what is right in all that they do, treat people the way they would want to be treated, we could quite literally heal the world in a day. We really could. You know, the whole thing comes down to us. It's always come down to the people. The whole system of slavery is our choice to comply with it. Whether we believe we're making that choice or not, we are making this choice every day. We continue to make the choice and we continue to do what we're told because we don't have the support of the people. But we're not really willing to be the one that offers that support first. We want other people to offer it to us. We don't want to step outside of the lines because we know no one's going to support us. But yet if we see someone step outside the lines, we don't support them. And so that's how we know no one is going to support us. But what if we did? What if we did support the people around us? What if we just all started growing gardens even though the government tells us we can't? What if we just start feeding homeless people even though we're told that we can't? What if we start doing what is right in all that we do even though we're told that we must do the opposite? You know, why don't we start questioning authority that tells us we must do the opposite? You know, if there's laws that are put in place which are creating hardship for people, why do we comply with these laws and not ask questions about it? Why do we just go through our lives saying, yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir, it's not my fault that that person's starving, even though I've got food in my hand that I can feed them with, but you're telling me I can't, so I'll just have to let them die, and I'm doing the right thing by doing that because I'm obeying the law. Why do we think that way? Why have we been so programmed and been so removed from what it is to be a human being that we even allowed this type of legislation to exist without questioning it? That's the question, folks. And when you look at that, you can see why the answer to the whole problem lies within the hearts of the people. You know, it's not until people discover their own humanity that things are going to change, because even allowing these types of laws to be in place, you have to step outside your humanity even to comply with legislation like this. And why are we so willing to do that? That's the questions that people need to ask. And it's simply by asking the question that you can make a difference. Because by asking that question, you've at least reached that point where you can see something that's right in front of your face enough to at least ask the question. And that's the problem. Most people don't even ask the question. They just comply and they let it happen. They just let that starving person wither away and they don't do anything about it. They think they're obeying the law and they don't even ask the question. That's the problem, folks. You know, that's the really scary part about it, is that we've been so far removed from our humanity that we don't even ask these questions anymore. But there are questions that need to be asked, and there's so many questions that need to be asked. And the children these days, the millennials, the kids, are so caught up in technology that they just don't ask the questions anymore. There are no war protests anymore. There's no people questioning the system in any way. The youth of today have simply been programmed into compliance through the gradual changing of the education system, because the education system certainly does not train people how to think anymore. It trains them what to think. I mean, it was like that when I was a kid. It trained people what to think, not how to think, but it's really been taken to the next level with the kids that are coming through the school now. Plus, they have technology to keep them in check as well, and they have all the social crediting and penalizing and all that stuff that comes with it. So it's pretty freaky where you see where we're being led, folks. It really is. And the kids that are coming through, as I've said so many times, by the time they enter the workforce, the kids that are entering school now, they're going to have no reference point for what freedom looked like at all. And that's a pretty scary situation. So we need to start paying attention, ladies and gentlemen. Put all of your stuff down with people. Put all of this baggage down that you're carrying around. Stop all the fighting with your neighbors. Just get along with people as best you can and realize that we're all facing a common foe. You know, the government is not your friend. It doesn't matter what country you are in, the government is not your friend. They're all working together. They all have a common goal, and every country on earth is all heading into this same smart surveillance system. And the only people who can do anything about it is the people themselves, but they've got to want to. And all you have to do something about it is get back in touch with what it means to be a human being. Talk to people again rather than texting them. Go to the bank and draw money out and go to the shop and buy things rather than ordering online with Amazon. Go out in the real world and start interacting with the real world. Go to a creek and go to a waterfall. Go to the beach, put your feet in the water. Go for a walk in the forest. Get out of the city. Get away from the technology for a while. Get off the internet for a while. Get out and see the real world. Get out and travel. Go out and meet some people. Get away from this mundane job that you're stuck in and get back in touch with what it means to be a human being. It's important for you to do this. It's important for everybody to do this. It really is. We've reached that time in history, folks, where we really do need to pay attention, because we're at a turning point in history, and where it's turning to is not a real good place. I mean, it could be, it still can be, but where it's going to is simply not a good place at the moment, because people are not paying enough attention to it. We're allowing the world to be run by criminals, folks, and we've been talking about this for long enough now that I think people know it. We all know the politicians are corrupt. The point is, what are we going to do about it? Why do we still keep participating in a system which is so corrupt? Why do we keep voting for these people? Why do we keep showing up at the polling booths? Why do we keep paying taxes to them? Why do we keep doing what we're told when we know how corrupt they all are? That's the question that people need to be asking, among all the other questions that people need to be asking. Like I said, folks, there's a lot of them. But I don't know, folks. I mean, you get to a point where you look at this and it's just such a farce. It becomes such a joke. And You know, I mean, I've come onto these shows for 10 years and I've been saying virtually the same thing for 10 years. I mean, I've just been laughing at this system, really. I've been trying to look at it from all different aspects and say the same thing in as many ways as I possibly can in the hope that I'll reach more people. You know, you say something one way, someone will get it. Say it a different way, someone else will get it. But it gets to the point, I mean, it's such a joke. This system is such theatre. These politicians are so corrupt. It isn't even like a B-grade movie anymore. I mean, it used to be like a B-grade movie. Now it's like a C-grade movie. It's like the Keystone Cops. It's like this, I mean, I don't even know what words to use to describe this system. It's just such a joke. I mean, how many trillions have we got missing from the White House now? I mean, it just goes on and on. The number just keeps growing and no one even really does anything about it. They can say, oh, we've got missing trillions, and then have the Pentagon attack the next day and suddenly the paperwork gets destroyed and no one mentions it anymore. We have whole pallets of money go missing in Iraq when they sent all that money over there. I mean, billions of dollars goes everywhere. Trillions of dollars goes everywhere. We've got people scrounging for a few cents on the street so they can get the money to just put food on the table. And we've got politicians virtually throwing billions and trillions of dollars away everywhere and posturing against each other and doing all of these theatrics. And the media is just lapping it up and selling it to the people. And it's just a joke, and it's beyond a joke, and it just blows my mind that people can't see it and that the system continues to function and that people actually believe they're ever going to find any remedy from within this system, because it just doesn't make any sense at all, folks. And I have to admit that it does get a little frustrating after so many years of looking at this to see nothing really changing, although the system is exposing itself pretty dramatically, as I said, which is why all this censorship is coming about and why they're doing all the things they have to do now to attempt to lock this awakening down. But I don't think they're really going to be able to lock it down, folks. I think the more they lock it down, the more people are going to wake up, and that's just the way it's going to go. You know, humankind has been pushed for a long time, but I really think that they can only be pushed so far, and I think it is getting to the point where the jack-in-the-box is going to spring up again pretty soon. Let's hope so, anyway. Well, we are getting very close to that time again, folks, where we have reached the end of the show. Bit of a scattered show again for you today. Sorry about that. Covered a few esoteric topics. I never really know exactly where I'm going with most of these radio shows when I start. I just have the opening quote and see where it goes from there. But thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company. As I've mentioned so many times before, I will be speaking at Anarchapulco in February, February 14th to February 17th. That is happening. If you go to my website, thecrowhouse.com, you'll find a banner on that website. And if you go and buy yourself a ticket to Anarchapulco and use the coupon CROWHOUSE, you'll find that you'll get yourself a discount on that ticket. Or so I've been told anyway. Thank you again to all the people who send me so many wonderful emails and who send me so many positive comments on my YouTube videos. And thank you, thank you, thank you to my Patreon supporters. As always, I could not do any of this work were it not for the support that I receive on Patreon. That's the only thing that keeps the show going these days. It's the only thing that keeps me going these days. And I really cannot thank my Patreon supporters enough for all the support they've given me and all the people who have contributed to the Crow House over the years. Thank you for all that you've done to help get this information out to the world. You people really have done just as much as me, because I couldn't have put any of this out were not for the support that you people have shown me. So thank you again. And as I've said before, I'm sure all the listeners, even the ones who don't contribute because they can't afford to, I'm sure they would all like you to have their thanks as well, because you are the ones who provide the means to get this information out for everybody. But again, that is it for me, ladies and gentlemen. As I said, I'll be speaking at Anarchapulco in February. I'll also be doing a small gig in Byron Bay in January. That will be very limited attendance because it's part of another wider workshop, but I will let you know what the attendance can be and how many people are able to come. It'll be kind of a first-in, best-dressed kind of a thing. But I'll keep you posted on that once I have a date for that event. I know it's definitely happening. I just don't know what date it is yet because I'm not that organized in my life at the moment. That's just the way it is. But that is it for me now, folks. I've completely run out of time. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It is always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh.